Hello and welcome to Dear Franny, the podcast where I have uncommon conversations about love with fascinating people. I'm your host, Francesca Hoogie. In this episode, I talk to Polly Galseeks. Polly is a polyamorous mom and professional woman, and I had so many questions about polyamory, and it's a very confusing topic for a lot of people, and she is so candid and so gracious and really answering all these questions and sharing her own experience going from a monogamous married woman to a polyamorous one. So please enjoy my conversation with Polly Galseeks.
Polly Am Galseeks, thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, of course. Okay, I'm going to call you Polly for short. So you are the co-host of A Mighty Love podcast with our friend Demetrius, and you tweet about dating, sex, love, feminism, polyamory, comedy, and politics. Covering a lot of bases. Amazing. In your previous career, you were an evolutionary biologist, and you now work in analytics and data science by day, and you are Polyam Galseeks by day, night, and evening.
Yes, true. Even in the middle of the night, that's still who I am.
So we know each other through Demetrius. We've never actually met before, but I know of you because I've been friends with your co-host for some years now, and I've heard you on the podcast, of course. You actually gave me a real education because on my previous podcast, Romantical, Saskia and I interviewed Demetrius, and we were doing listener advice questions, and there was some question that sparked a conversation about polyamory. And I don't remember if I think the question was probably specifically about polyamory, but non-polyamorous people answering this question and having a point of view, which is limited. Like, you know, I think we all admitted that. And you were great because with a lot of love, also directly, you tweeted like, hey, actually, that's not what polyamory is. And like did this whole tweet thread that I was like, oh, wow. Like when I read that, I was like, I just learned so much from a tweet thread, which is amazing. And it made me really excited to talk to you because I know that most people have no idea what polyamory is really about. So how do you define it?
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually. I'm still sort of oscillating and narrowing in on my own definition. But at the moment, I'd say I define it as the ability or capacity to be in more than one loving relationships with partners. And I sort of define that not just as like platonic love, but romantic love, and where there's some understanding of commitment to the partners. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there's like 100 different versions about how people do this.
Yeah.
So like if I get any more specific than that, someone say that's not true because I X, Y, Z, and I'd be like, you're right. That also counts.
Yeah, I guess that is part of why it's so thorny of an issue. Because I think probably the first association people have when they think polyamory is they think like a patriarchal society where a husband has multiple wives.
Sure. And that does count. You know, I mean, there are lots of things that technically fall under polyamory, but maybe aren't super like ethical or great for all parties involved. And I'd say if you're thinking of like that show on HBO, like Big Love with where husbands are only allowed to have multiple wives, vice versa, I'd say like, yeah, that counts. I wouldn't say that'd be like one of my favorites, but I don't know. I heard of This American Life years ago about a woman who said that she thought it was great and it was really good for her personally. So you never know. But yeah, there's like sort of this old fashioned idea of something like that. And I think it's possible it does work for some people, but that's not how most people I know who are polyamorous practice it today.
Okay. So how do people that you know practice it today?
So there's
you talk about polyamory, what does that look like in practice?
So there's a lot of variety. I'd say there's like a few different styles. Like often if I'm thinking about like the polyamorous person I know best, either they're probably in a married or committed relationship where they live with one partner and then they also have other partners. Mm. However, I do know people who live like in a triad where all three of them are in a relationship. I know someone who lives in a V where he is the boyfriend of a woman who's married to another man, but all three of them live together. So he's not in a romantic relationship with his girlfriend's husband, but they all live together in harmony.
Wait, so you said that's a V?
Yeah. So the woman in this story is like the point of the V, and the two men are like the tops of the V, if that means anything to you.
Okay.
There are also people who talk about like W's and N's, and I'm like, that gets a little more complicated.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like it is totally possible to have a harmonious W, but I just think that's a special situation where you have a lot of really mature, wonderful people.
Yeah, I mean, what does that look? Is there?
I don't know. I mean,
how many couples is that? That's
right.
Like, I mean, how many people is that? One,
how many bedrooms is
three,
that?
Four.
Like,
I
feel like one of the stumbling. You know, I'm based in New York, and like one of my partners that were talking about, like, the stumbling block to living in one of those configurations is just how expensive housing is and how, like, not affordable it is, and also impossible it would be to find, like, a 5-bedroom house to live with your 4 partners. this could work somewhere in America, probably.
And but is the idea that if you're living in a situation like that, is the idea that all can have, like, would there be a scenario where all 5 of you are just in your bedrooms, leave me alone, I'm living my life on my own right now?
I mean, so some people have like closed polyamory relationships, like we are all dating each other and no one else. And so like we're all in a relationship together. We don't see people outside of our group, like sexually or romantically. And then in those cases, like, you know, okay, maybe some pairs like share a bedroom or something, but I guess logistically that gets tricky if you want to spend equal time with all your partners. I don't know. I've never seen someone execute this, so I have no idea what that would look
like. Yeah. To be honest, I mean, the main thing that I think of when I think of polyamory is just like, why would I make my life more logistically complicated?
Yeah. I think that is like one of the biggest stumbling blocks, is you have to be really organized with your time. Otherwise, you're always accidentally blowing people off, or double booking yourself, or getting overwhelmed and like saying like, oh my God, I can't hang out with anyone for a week because I'm just too like zapped.
Yeah, that would be really hard. It's a lot of emotional energy to be a partner and to show up in a relationship. And I think the challenge of dividing that energy and that attention over multiple people. I mean, I guess when you think of what's sort of the longest term polyamorous relationship that you are aware of, that you look at, that you're like, oh yeah, like that seems like the kind of relationship I want to be, or they've kind of figured out how to sustain this over time.
I think I follow someone on Twitter, and she's been married for 17 years and has children with her husband. And then she also has a serious boyfriend who I think now lives with them, and they've been together for like 11 years. So like, these are very like stable relationships. Mm-hmm. Like they all have relationships with her children, and she's known them all a very long time. And like, I aspire to like finding something a little bit more stable. That said, this person is, as far as I understand, still does actually date and meet new people and engage in more like casual relationships on top of having these serious committed relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I would enjoy dating in some capacity. And so I hope to keep having that be part of something I do. Like, I will hope to keep meeting new people and finding new opportunities, even if I am like long-term committed to someone or someone's.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you can make that work, I guess it's definitely, it seems like it has to be a personality type. Do you feel, and maybe I'm wrong, that polyamorous people just generally are less competitive or less ego driven? Like what do you think, what kind of like mindset does it take to be able to not feel what for most people is a natural sort of like possessiveness over their partner or jealousy? What is that poly like chip that maybe some of us don't have as well developed?
I don't even know if all poly people really have this chip either, but I think there's like a few components to it. One is that I think there's this problem like in sort of like traditional Western monogamous culture where you really expect your spouse or your partner to be everything to you. They're your best friend, they're your confidant, they're your mentor, they do everything for you. And that is so much pressure to put on one person to be everything to you. And so I think even if you're monogamous, like you have to have different lines of support. You know, you have to have your best friend and like people at work. Like you need people in your life who you're giving energy and support to, and they're giving energy and support to you. That's a more healthy relationship, and you're not putting all the strain on this one person to be everything to you. Mm-hmm. And for me, polyamory is just sort of a natural extension of that, where I have a relationship with more than one person where like they bring different things to my life and I bring different things to their life. Like I find with some people, I tend towards seeing like, oh, this, we tend to talk about these kinds of things with this other person. We tend to focus on different things. And while they're all in the spectrum of things that interest me, it also in some way lets me off the hook. Like if my partner really loves, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons, and I just have no interest, and then they play Dungeons and Dragons with another partner, great. Something awesome. I don't have to, like, try to feign an interest in. I mean, I don't feign interest, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't I don't have to try to be that for them. Like, I'm like, great, someone else does that, and that's wonderful, and I don't really have to be a part of that directly. So then the flip side is, like, you know, the idea that, like, what if their just D&D relationship just blossoms into something that's, like, overpowers me and they don't even need me anymore? There's always that fear that they're going to replace you or that someone else is going to grow in importance relative to you. And, like, you're like, well, what if I get edged out, or what if I'm not part of their life anymore? And that is scary. But I think the thing I kind of realized is that that can happen to you anytime, even in a monogamous relationship. Like, someone can outgrow you. Sure. Somebody can fall in love with someone else.
Yeah.
You guys can drift apart. Yeah. And I don't really think, it hasn't been my experience that the polyamory is the thing that moves it in that direction. It's been my experience that when you're in multiple relationships, you're going to have more turnover naturally, because instead of being in one, you're in like three or two or whatever, and you'll experience more turnover over your life. But I don't actually think polyamory really makes that more likely so much as it happens more often because you're in more relationships, if that makes sense. Just like mathematically, it's more likely to happen.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. But I would also imagine that of course, in quote unquote monogamous relationships, there are people cheat all the time, relationships end all the time. Of course, that goes without saying. But there is a difference between saying for instance, my boyfriend is, he's a very avid cyclist, right? Mm-hmm. And people are always asking me, they're like, oh, do you ever go cycling with him? And I'm like, absolutely not. It's his thing. And I love that he has his thing. He's super passionate about it. And he, you know, it's fantastic. I would never do anything to hinder that hobby, that passion of his, you know. But he's riding bikes with other people. That's what he does, right? And I have no expectation that he's going to like fall in love with one of his cycling buddies and leave me for that person, right?
Sure.
But obviously, if we were polyamorous and he was like, oh, I found this other person who I can cycle with, like, to just use a D&D example, like, who I can cycle with, and we're going to get into a romantic relationship, then it's like, oh, well, now if that is an option, then it's going to get taken more often than not, I would think. Or not necessarily more often than not, but it's going to get taken more often than if it wasn't an option. Maybe. I don't know.
I guess it's possible. I mean, I guess it also depends on your style of polyamory. Like, some people date polyamorously very much like how some people date monogamously, where they have like if they have a partner, it's like very serious. There's a commitment. It's very structured. And like, we have this sort of agreement. And then some people, me, date in a way where like, I'm very open to a lot of different relationship outcomes. Like, we might become very serious and be very committed, or we're more like friends who occasionally have sex, where I'm like, yeah, I like hanging out with you, but we're not committed. Like, if you're if you're in an emergency, I'm probably not going to be one of the top 10 people you call. And while we like care about each other and we have a good relationship, it's not something that where we have expectations of each other.
Not even top 10?
I don't know. I mean, how many people does this person know? Is this fictional? Like, I mean, their mom, their more serious partner than me, their other more serious partners than me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like if someone was like, I was in a car accident, come get me. I'd be like, nah, we're not in a relationship and hang up. But, you know, there are people where like, you know, if someone you knew from like work called you up and they were like, I'm in a car accident, can you come get me? You'd be like, of course. But in your head, you'd be like, who else did you call first and what happened? You know, like,
if I was having sex with them, I'd be like, I would call them, even I might call them before someone closer even, because I'd be like, well, it's going to be an inconvenience for my best friend to drive all the way across town, but this dude can come get me.
But I've seen your dick, so you have to come pick me up. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I guess it depends. I mean, I think it all has to do with our comfort level of like how close you consider yourself to someone based on whether you've had sex.
And
for me, it depends a lot too. Like I even like person to person, like how close I feel to them based on how much time we spent together, I feel like isn't like necessarily perfectly linear or like matches across all people. So I think, I don't know, for me, I'm very like flexible on what it's going to look like and what it evolves into. And I think if there are people who come in with like something very specific, it's good to like clear that up right off the bat. Like they're like, I'm really looking for someone who's going to like move in with me and my wife and da 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 da. I might be like, whoa, okay, that's not quite what I'm looking for. I'm glad you have a very clear vision of what you want. And that is not for me. So good luck to you. I try to pick other people generally who are a little bit more like me, like maybe are married or maybe have a family or maybe have like a committed partner, where they're not like necessarily looking to like take on someone with like a huge part of their relationship necessarily. That said, it has happened to me where I was dating someone and that's what it became, but I wasn't looking for it. It just naturally evolved. And that was kind of nice, as I'm like, well, I did, like, no one forced this. This is just what it grew into out of our relationship. And in a way, like, that's kind of refreshing that like neither of us were like, oh, this has to be XYZ. We just sort of let it become what it was.
So let me ask you something. I mean, I have a bunch of questions. One question is, what's the difference between polyamory and non-monogamy?
So non-monogamy is sort of like, I think of it as like an umbrella term that encompasses a lot of thing, like quote unquote swinging, where you basically, you and your partner maybe have sex with like other couples, or you have permission to like go out, have sex with other people, but you're not really creating relationships with those other people. Certainly not romantic ones anyway. Like it's very much about sex, but you're still really maintaining your relationship with your spouse or your partner. Like really, you guys are the only ones who are romantically involved, and like it's mostly just sex with other people. Okay. And then there's sort of the in between, where it's like maybe you have a committed partner, or maybe you don't, and maybe you just don't really want that, but you kind of date and have relationships, like you have boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever, but you don't, if you are in a relationship, like you're married or have a serious partnership, like that person kind of is still your like most important relationship. And then you have relationships with other people, but they don't rise to that level. Like maybe you don't really feel like you would fall in love with them, like you care about them, but you're like, I really only love one person at one time, that's just how I am. Mm-hmm. Or that's something that you specifically are trying to avoid, where you're like, I want me and my partner to only love each other. I don't want to have super serious relationships with other people, but I do want us to have the option to like date and have sex with other people.
That's non-monogamy.
Yeah, I would think of like that sort of like middle of the road non-monogamy. And then polyamory is specifically about being capable of and or seeking multiple serious romantic relationships. And then there's like sort of other things in this like hierarchy, like you're married and that's your most important partner, and then you have the next most important one. There are some people who think that hierarchy is bullshit and you shouldn't practice it that way. There are some people think that actually, if you call it non-hierarchical, that's bullshit, because actually in the end, you're in a car accident, who's the first person you call? That's your primary. Realistically, someone is the one you call first. I haven't learned enough about this, honestly, to bring down like a defining thing of like, I think this is right and I think this is wrong. I think you and the people you're all in a relationship all need to come to an agreement about where you stand and what commitments you have to each other.
Yeah.
And you all got to work that out together. Mm-hmm. And then you just need to keep checking in and making sure that where you're at still works for everyone.
So how do you think that, first of all, how long have you been polyamorous? Like, when did you...
So I got married when I was 26, and we had been together since I was 21. And around when I turned 30, I guess, or maybe a little bit before, we kind of started talking about non-monogamy and what that would look like. And so we started practicing non-monogamy at that time, where we were like maybe dating or having sex with other people and sort of testing that out. And that was sort of where my mind was at for a long time. And then I started seeing someone and fell in love very quickly, this was like 3 years ago, and that really caught me off guard because I wasn't against it happening, but I didn't realize how quick or intense that could be. And so it caught me off guard where I was like, oh my God, what just happened? And I kind of like freaked out momentarily and went into a tailspin. I actually wrote like a Medium about this experience because it was like, I was like, this was such like a weird, it felt like such a weird thing to happen to me, like especially because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
But at that point I was like, okay, well, I am in love with two people, so that fits the definition of polyamory, so I guess that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that was also sort of me getting serious about learning a lot more. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to actually do this, I need to learn a lot more about how this works. Mm-hmm. And so I started getting pretty serious about like reading and thinking about like how to manage multiple relationships. And that was sort of when I sort of transitioned from like, oh, this is just kind of fun and I'm having a nice time, to be like, to being more in the mindset of like, I need to learn a little bit more about how to do this responsibly so I don't make mistakes that were clearly avoidable if I'd done a little bit of research.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, you know, some people who find themselves in that situation of being in love with two people very unexpectedly, I think most people's reaction to that is to think, well, I just have to choose between these two people.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
I think they would probably, usually when that happens, a person says, well, I guess I wasn't in love before and now I am, because we just have that newness, right? The dopamine, yes, and all the excitement and everything.
Yeah.
And so like the new person is always shiny and new, and you don't know all their like foibles yet, right? And flaws,
exactly,
yet. So I guess it's interesting that that was kind of like the kind of catalyst for you, because I wonder, why do you think that was your reaction to say, okay, well, I guess now I need to learn more about this lifestyle versus like, I'm just at a crossroads, or I just have to resolve this situation and just move on with my life, or whatever, you know, whatever the thought process was.
Interesting. Well, the first thing I did was I talked to my husband, where I'm like, this fucking crazy thing is happening to me and I don't know how to feel about it. And he and I had kind of talked about like what our guidelines were in our relationship for like, as we see other people, what was, you know, what were our boundaries, or what did we see as like the most important principles of making that work? And we had an agreement, you know, like we live together, we have a child together. And so we actually don't live together anymore. But in any case, at the time we were like, well, live in this home together, we have a child together, we're financially bound up in each other, we're married. So when push comes to shove, we have to choose that. And if there's a situation in which you have to make a choice, that needs to be what you choose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because gotcha. Of our commitment. Those are the things of our commitment to each other. But you can't really tell another person how to feel. Like, you can't dictate.
Yeah.
You can't be like, you're not allowed to love anyone else. Because good luck. I mean, like, you mm-hmm. know, try to catch a rainbow in your mouth. Like, people are going to do whatever they're going to do. So I think that that was sort of our principle for how that worked. And then for me also, part of kind of coming into this life was like a lot about figuring out things about myself. Like, part of the reason, I don't know if it was around the time we decided to be non-monogamous, was around the time that I figured out that I am queer and not straight. Part of okay. that was like, oh my God, you know, now that I look back at my life, I'm like, there were 100 clues that I just ignored. But I think it was like a combination of like internalized maybe biphobia, and also just like a genuine misunderstanding of what that even means, that I finally was able to say, oh, this definitely applies to me. So that was like mm-hmm. a huge self-discovery, where you like all of a sudden see yourself and you're like, oh, this explains a lot of things about me, like what's been going on in my life up till now.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I felt like was maybe even as profound was that I'm a very extroverted person, which is also why I think polyamory works well for me. I do know that it works well for introverts also, but for me, socializing and spending time with other people like is energizing and exciting. I don't need a lot of alone time to like make up for that. So I think that's part of why this works. Like, it doesn't drain me to spend a lot of time with other people in the way that it does for like people who are maybe like very introverted.
Yeah.
So
I think that is an important factor actually, because I'm an extroverted introvert, but mm-hmm. I really, really love and value and need my my alone time.
Sure.
So I just think, like, even just the logistics of it, I'm like, I would have no time for myself. Like, yeah. I don't know how I would do that. I would not be the best version of myself. I'll put it that way.
And managing your alone time is an important thing, no matter how many relationships you are, like taking care of yourself so that you feel ready to like sustain your romantic and platonic relationships is always important no matter what.
Yeah. Do you object to categorizing polyamory as a lifestyle choice?
I have very like mixed feelings on this. I know some people who feel like being polyamorous is almost like an orientation. They feel like I was born this way. Mm-hmm. And I know other people who feel like, no, it's not like being born, you know, like gay or being born trans. Like it's a decision on how you decide to run your life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're creating a false dichotomy, like it's one and not the other. I think it might be a little bit of both, honestly. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I know that for me, one of the reasons that I realized that this was a match for me is that because of being super extroverted, I had always felt a little bit lonely my whole life. Like even though I had, you know, like friendships and relationships for most of my life, I always had felt a little bit lonely, but I'd gotten so used to the feeling, it's like the sound of your refrigerator, you don't hear it anymore. And mm-hmm. so it was just something that I had accepted was like sort of a constant feeling in my life of feeling like a little like unfulfilled on this dimension. And once I fell in love with this other person and like suddenly was like maintaining these two very different but very important relationships, the refrigerator stopped making noise. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know I could feel this way. I didn't know I could that this was a feeling I could have of not feeling like a persistent hum of loneliness in my life. And that for me was like the sign. I'm like, oh yeah, this works for me. This is something that I didn't know that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I found it, I was like, oh yeah, this, mm-hmm. this is good. Yep. This. Mm-hmm.
So you don't see like a time in the future where you may be like, I'm glad that I did this. I'm glad I had these relationships, but now I'm ready to just simplify my life, simplify my connections with other people, and have a more traditional situation where I have maybe one partner at a time or maybe one partner forever. Do you see, like, is that something that you could even imagine happening, or is that just feel so far from how you're wired?
I suspect that it might be possible for me to maintain such a substantial number of intimate platonic relationships that just one romantic relationship would be fulfilling. Like, I think that that is a thing that could be possible. Mm-hmm. But I think realistically, it's very difficult to make a new best friend like at this point in my life. And maybe I'm not trying hard enough, but it's hard, you know?
Yeah.
And
it is hard.
Dating is sort of you going out there and putting yourself open to developing an intense intimate relationship, and not just like sexually but like emotionally, where you're very close to someone else. And it's not just the physicality for me, but it's like really like the intense emotional intimacy that like mm-hmm. I seek and fulfills me. And I feel like that's very hard to achieve platonically later in life. Not impossible, certainly, and I guess I could like
run it's at it full force to have
and
that.
Try but yeah. it's yeah. hard. I mean,
it's
growing, yeah. just being close to people is so difficult. Like when you're young, you're in school, or maybe you're like in a work environment where you make a lot of friends easily. But like, I feel like as you get older, and especially like now that I'm a mom and stuff, it's so much harder to like develop that with someone else.
Mm-hmm. What about those past friendships? Did you think that there was a time, and maybe the reason you were able to get married in the first place, thinking that you were going to be a monogamous person, was because you had those friendships that were fulfilling that role in your life, of those other intimate relationships?
I think to some degree that's true. Like one other sign that I think, this is just a sidebar, but like one other sign that I think polyamory is a fit for me is that I've always had two best friends. And I like in graduate mm-hmm. school, I had two mentors. Like I was at two different institutions, and both times I felt like I had two mentors. Like I've always felt like I have two, and like now when I look back, I'm like, oh, that all makes sense. Like that makes sense to me now.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, at that point I had two very like intense best friendships, and I, you know, in the sense that like I know people are like, having a best friend is goofy. Like, why would you rank your friends? But like, there's like a tier of like the people that you are the most close to and like the people you would go to for advice or when something good or bad happens, like that top tier of people. And I don't know how many are in that for you, like 1, 8, who knows? But like, for me, like I had two people that I had that very intense closeness platonically with, and that was a big thing. But also I do think that I leaned way too hard on my husband to be everything to me. And I think that was a lot of pressure on him. And I think he a little bit did the same to me. Mm-hmm. I think
that's
as
what
much
we do in relationships
thing.
In our culture. I mean, unless you have that awareness, because that's how we are socialized to think that, you know, your partner has to be best friend. You know, you have to have all the same hobbies, just be the best sex you've ever had, to be the person that you go to for advice, to be your source of humor, your source of everything. Yeah. It's like, but I think, see, for me, and when I work with people, my orientation and like the way that I look at relationships is like, this is about connection with another person. Mm-hmm. And that requires vulnerability, and that requires intimacy. And that requires looking at people not as like a collection of things that are going to make you feel better or feel complete or blah, 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 but it's looking at people as other like whole, worthy, loving beings. And the point is that you come together and you love each other in spite of the fact that you're different, in spite of the fact that intimate relationships are triggering and bring up, you know, fears and all of those things. So that's just kind of like the way that I look at relationships, just sort of generally. So the culture of like, you know, everybody, your partner being your every single thing, I totally see that as harmful. Like it's actively harmful to intimacy, because it sets people up with these like very, very unrealistic expectations. And it's also disempowering, because it's like, no, like you should be, it's a better use of your energy to develop a sense of joy within yourself and peace within yourself. And then you can strengthen, you can engage in relationships with other people from a place of real strength and not from like needing something from them, but it's like, you're just enhancing each other's lives. So I'm totally on the same page in terms of like that we need to rethink this paradigm of romantic relationships. However, I guess I wonder though, because part of why intimate romantic relationships are so triggering, well, especially when you've been in a relationship for a while, is because it's a journey of self-discovery, right? And you're always like, because you're in it with that other person, like your shit is bumping up against their shit, and like, you know, it's like, it's a sink or swim moment of like, okay, are we going to grow? Are we going to compromise? Are we just going to like be like, you know, to hell with you, and walk away? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if with polyamory, do you think that there is a concern or a possibility that a lot of people are just, it's not even so much that they're choosing polyamory maybe from the same place that you are, which is really understanding this is how you're oriented, but they're choosing it more from a place of, well, I have an out of going too deep with this person because that's too scary.
Oh, interesting. I feel like I have ever dated someone who, did he identify as polyamorous? I'm not sure. I think he did. Hard to say. He identified as solo poly, which is a subset of people who feel like the most important relationship you have is with yourself. And then you don't really particularly want to live with another partner. You kind of want to live on your own and then develop parallel relationships to other people that are important, but only that your relationship with yourself is like kind of the thing that you prioritize. And so I met someone who was like that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I think that that's great if that's what you need the most. But I also suspected that he chose that to avoid true emotional intimacy with other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just me diagnosing way after the fact. I don't really know for sure, but that was just sort of a creeping feeling I got about, but that was him in particular and not necessarily all people. I mean, the upside of polyamory is that you have a bigger support network. Like if you get broken up with, like they're, you know, on top of your friends, like you have other partners that will comfort you and give you love. And it's not like it sucks any less to get rejected or to have something really special to you come to an end. but you do have this other support, but you also have it like during troubling times, like that you, I mean, it depends on what your relationships are like and how much you are at liberty to share what's going on in one relationship with another relationship. And that's between you and your partners, I guess. But
yeah.
I check in and make sure about how much privacy the other person wants from my other partners. But I default to wanting to be able to just share whatever I want to share. And I tell other people that that's fine, unless I specifically say, please don't say this right now. I'm still working through whatever.
Have you been in a situation where you had a partner who wanted to share with you difficulty they were having in another relationship? Is that something that happens?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And same for me, like where I'm very like frustrated or upset with someone. And, you know, the person that you divulge this to has to be coming from a point of maturity where they're not just like, haha, now I'm going to break them up and then they'll all be mine. Like that, you know, like if that's what your partner's going to do, then that's, you know, that's pretty fucked up. So hopefully that's not what's going on. But, you know, ideally, when someone comes to me with a problem in one of their other relationships, I try to like listen and, you know, to the degree that I know the other person, I try to like think about it from their point of view, to the degree that I know the person I'm in a relationship, which is usually much more. I try to think about from their point of view and try to like listen and, you know, give advice or point things out that maybe they haven't thought about to sort of help them resolve whatever it is that's going on with them. And I try to be very supportive. I think if you try to push someone into making a decision like, oh, you guys should probably break up, or like, oh, you should definitely give them a second chance, like that's not good for anyone. Like I can, you know, I would maybe go as far to say, well, I don't know how you feel. If it was me, I can't forgive that kind of thing. But you need to think about what it means for you to forgive someone, because you might feel differently. I don't know. And that, you know, that's as far as I'll go. I'm like, if it were me, I would do this, but you got to figure out if that's what's right for you.
It sounds really complicated, honestly. And I mean, I'm just totally honestly, like you were talking and I was thinking, if I had to worry about all of this, like I couldn't have a business because being an entrepreneur takes so much emotional and mental, like, real estate.
Yeah.
You know,
it does.
And I'm just like, I feel like I would have an entirely different life because I would have to just organize my priorities so differently to like, because just being in a relationship alone, obviously you have to like prioritize and focus on your partner in a relationship. But at least that dynamic, I mean, it's always changing because you're always changing as people, but it's two people. It's just easier to work out something between two people than three and four and five.
Sure.
So to you, does that feel like natural and easeful? And like, are you like, oh, I understand why it seems that way from the outside, but actually when you're in it, it all kind of sorts itself out?
I think very much that you have to have a certain amount of privilege in order to like practice polyamory, in that you need to have the kind of job where you don't work a crazy number of hours. Like if you're working 80 hours, how do you even have time for even one partner, honestly? You know, like it's rough. And two would be like cutting your free time even more in half. Like one of the refrains I often say is, love is infinite, time is not. You only literally have so many hours in the day that you're awake and available to do anything, including brushing your teeth, doing your laundry, being with a partner, you know, answering emails, whatever. So like you have to be very thoughtful about how you choose to dedicate your time.
Yeah. I'd also forget like who told me what. I'd do that too.
Right. <'Cause> I do sometimes have conversations where I'm like, did I tell you this? And they're looking at me and they're like, yes. And I'm like, sorry. Never mind. or I'll say something. They're like, you didn't tell me that. And I'm like, really? Whoops. Sorry. I don't know. Sometimes stuff just slips your mind. So I'm very lucky that I have a job where I make enough money and I have enough time to like dedicate to other relationships. I also have, I think, a natural, more emotional capacity to like engage in this way, which I don't know if everyone has that same gas tank of emotional energy to put out there.
Definitely not. Yeah.
I think a lot of people vary in how much they have. And then I think there's also, so this all ties in sort of into the ideas about like, there have been pieces critiquing how polyamory spaces are very white and very like upper middle class or wealthy. And I think that that's partially confounded with the fact that you have to have the privilege of having enough time and having enough money that you could even think about something like this. And then also, and then that's all
enough
tied
real
up
estate,
in,
enough bedrooms.
Right. And that's all tied up in like socioeconomic status and class and race. And so that it sort of creates this situation where like, if you go to a polyamorous event, like you're like, oh, mostly white people, you know, and I don't think there are any easy answers for that. But for I mean, I've definitely noticed this just sort of anecdotally in terms of like when I look at dating profiles, like who's on there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my own experience, like I'm very fortunate that I do have my life set up in a way that that's possible. And like, you know, I can work from home on days when I need to. And I can, you know, just there are a lot of things that are in place that make it more possible for me to do this, where if I had a very different job or made a different amount of money, that just probably wouldn't work as well.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that that is definitely true. It does feel like a privileged place to be in, but there's something wrong with that, you know?
This to like make other people feel bad.
Yeah, just, yeah. I mean,
it's sort just, of the consequence of
we all have our privileges,
the way the world is, you know?
Kind of having been on both sides of it because, you know, you had your pre-poly life and your poly life. What's your advice to people who are like, might I be poly? Maybe how do I even start to explore this? Or how do I even find people? Because I think a lot of people, especially on dating apps these days, throw around the word poly and Lord knows what they actually mean by it.
Right.
So what do you do? Like, I mean, do you say I'm poly curious? Like what, how does that work?
I guess, I would sort of start out from the point of view of like, if this is something you're interested, I would like start with non-monogamy. So first of all, if you're partnered, like you and your partner should be on the same page about whether you guys want to explore this or not, because that could be an issue. And I do know that there are some cases where like one partner prefers to just be monogamous and the other partner has the freedom to seek other relationships and they have that understanding and that works.
But is that polyamory?
The person who sees other people is polyamorous. And the person
right,
who doesn't is monogamous.
Is not,
and
right.
There are monopoly relationships that are functional, and I think that's possible, but I feel like that's a advanced move. I feel
that's
like you
real.
Gotta,
okay.
Yeah, I personally yeah. wouldn't
See, I,
be interested
that just,
in something like that. I feel like that would be
yeah.
difficult. Then again, I mean, I do
that
know.
That feels like.
I do know people who, like, you know, they're very caught up in their career or something, and they're like, I don't have time to have a full-fledged whole relationship with you, and I care a lot about you, but if you want to go and, like, date other people and, like, have other relationship, that's fine. That gives me time for the things I want to do. I don't personally know anyone like this. I feel like there's someone on Twitter or something who I follow who is like this, and I'm yeah. like, that's great if that works for you. I don't know how many people really feel that way, but it's I guess that could be one of the versions that work. I don't know.
Goodness, yeah.
You know, there are lots of different variations, but I'd say generally if you're partnered, you want to talk to your partner and make sure that you guys are on the same page about how you want to go forward. If you're on your own, I would sort of start dabbling in non-monogamy. Just how do you feel about, like, you know, at the beginning, non-monogamy and monogamy look very much the same, where you might be dating more than one person at the same
the
time, and
beginning.
That's mm-hmm. normal. It's just that at a certain point, when it grows into a commitment in monogamy, you're expected to, like, end those any other relationships that are running in parallel, whereas in non-monogamy, you don't. And so I would say, like, start out with a point of view of, like, A, be super clear that that's where you're at so no one is confused. I've never done this before, but I'm interested in it. I'd like to see where this relationship goes. I would say only date other non-monogamous people. Don't date monogamous people. That's I've learned that lesson the hard way.
Yeah.
And it's goofy.
yeah.
I mean, we can get into that, but it's essentially if a monogamous person wants a commitment, they're not going to pick you if you're the non-monogamous one because you're not the one who's going to make the commitment to
yeah.
them that they really want. Unless you yeah. guys have a special monopoly thing, but those are unusual, honestly.
That
so
seems like a very...
That's an advanced move.
That's like a perfect storm situation.
Yeah.
I think, well, also, even using the term monogamy, I mean, we monogamy is the paradigm that we're used to,
mm-hmm.
but we still don't even talk about monogamy properly because technically you might be in a monogamous relationship, but most of us are not monogamous because have you ever been in a relationship with someone else?
Right.
Have you ever had sex with another person ever in your life?
Like, right.
Then you are not monogamous. You've had
sure.
more than one partner,
you're
right? So
serial monogamous, I guess. Like
yeah,
you
yeah, exactly. You might be a serial monogamous. You
sure.
might have had a series of monogamous relationships. But I think that people, I think a good starting point, just to put my two cents on here,
mm-hmm.
Is just to even ask yourself, like, forget about the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Like just really go inside and ask yourself, like, okay, if I could have any situation I wanted romantically, I have a magic genie. Okay, whatever you want, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it one person for the rest of your life? Is it monogamous relationships with 4 or 5 different people for the rest of your life? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I actually have a friend who had that realization. She was like, I just like falling in love. I like being in a relationship. But after a few years, she's ready to move on because she mm-hmm. feels like every relationship teaches her something. And so she's had a series of like 3, 4, 5 year relationships. And she remembers them all very fondly, and she plans to have more in the future. She's like, this is, works for me. And I think that's amazing to know that, right? Yeah. About yourself. I think just kind of allowing yourself, like, and I think having these conversations and people hearing people like you, like really sharing like, oh, okay, no, this is the process and this is what it looks like, is really helpful because it helps people to expand their thinking.
Yeah.
Even if they're like, well, I don't want to be polyamorous, but maybe some non-monogamy works for me. And maybe actually, if I'm being honest, that would be the thing that would be the best possible situation for me.
Sure. You know? Even just like, you know, I think my partner and I should have agreement where like, if you want to have like a one-off one-night stand with someone once in a while, like that's fine. Just be safe and like be sure that that's something you're interested in. Like it doesn't yeah. have to be a whole thing. You know, like the yeah. idea that we don't. The interesting thing I think about polyamory and getting into it is that you kind of, like for me, I had to really realize that like the rules aren't real. No one comes, the monogamy police don't come to your house and tell you that you're doing it wrong.
Right.
And on the other hand, like all the tools and the rules about, oh, this is what you should do or this is what you're supposed to do, like those can be helpful in some ways as being like a guiding principle. But like there are really not a lot of rules about how to do this. Like we have all these like ideas about like what a good monogamous relationship looks like and how does that proceed and what is the script and what are, you know, like what are like the structural steps. But like when you get into this space where like there are a lot of choices and there are no rules, you have to do a lot of hard thinking about what you really want and do a lot of hard communication about what you really want. And that's great. Those are good things. And I wish even people who want very traditional monogamous relationships did the hard thinking about what do I really want and am I able to articulate that to the person I'm in a relationship with.
Yeah.
It's such a skill. It reminds me of a skit Cameron Esposito, or not a skit, like she, from her comedy special, she talks about how straight sex is like a baseball diamond where like this, then this, then this, then this. And like these things are very specific, but she's like, gay sex is just an open field. Like what direction do you want to run in? For how long? Would you like to turn? Is this what you like? And it's so much about, that's great. Is this nice? Do you like this? Yes, I like this. Do you want this? No, thank you. Let's do this. Very much navigating. But I think with relationship rules, it's the same thing. Like if everyone lived their relationship like it was an open field where you can run in any direction you want for as long as you want and just check in about where you guys are going,
oh,
I think people would be so much happier.
God, yeah, I guess I some people would be so much happier. It, like, the thought of that, like, gives me anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it's the weighing, like, the safety of having rules versus the freedom of not having rules. Like, the safety of rules being like, I know what it's expected of me, but then the freedom to just say, like, oh, fuck that, I'm gonna go this way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm down for the, like, sexual freedom. It's just mm-hmm. more of the, like, the relationship, you know, structure freedom. That part is you know, but hey, that's me.
I get times where I'm like, oh God, I wish someone would hand me a book of rules. That would really help right now.
I know, right? God, I think the same thing. I definitely do. Tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and learn more about you. And, well, obviously listen to your podcast. I'm going to link to everything in the show notes. So I'll have a link to Mighty Love, link to your Twitter, link to your Instagram. Is there anything else that you want to let people know about that you're working on?
I had 2 Medium pieces I wrote a little while ago. One was about how I met one of my partners, and one was about like the logistics. It's not applicable anymore since I don't live with my husband anymore, but when I did, it was like the logistics of how we managed our life around poly, logistical, like here's how we like run our household. And so we could link to those if people are interested in reading like very
absolutely.
Personal things. Other than that, you can follow me on my Twitter at polygalseeks. And you can see me ranting or sharing memes or trying to give other people advice. And you can also listen to me and Demetrius host our bi-weekly podcast, A Mighty Love, where we sometimes answer questions and sometimes just sort of pontificate on things about love, sex, and relationships.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Polly.
And there you have it, my conversation with Polly. Be sure to check the show notes for links to Polly's social media and also to her podcast, A Mighty Love. You can stay in touch with me on all social media at Dear Franny. And you can also follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Dear Franny Podcast. Your time is precious, and I don't take for granted that you spent a bit of it with me, so thank you so very much. If you like what you hear, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast on whichever platform you're listening, and feel free to rate and review us. I'd be very, very grateful. Thank you, and have a beautiful day. Goodbye.